You don't need to be coy, Roy. Just get yourself free. Or you hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, Lee, and get yourself free. Slip out the back, Jack. Make a new plan, Stan. You don't need to be coy, Roy. You just listen to me. Hop on the bus, Gus. You don't need to discuss much. Just drop off the key, Lee, and get yourself free.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. Mama done left. Took the reason that I've been working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. You take this job and shove it. I've been working in this factory for now on 15 years. And all that time I've watched my woman drowning in a pool of tears. I've seen a lot of good folk die, had a lot of bills to pay. I'd give the shirt right off my back if I had the goods to say. Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left, took all the reasons I've been working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. Take this job and shove it. Foreman, he's a regular dog. Line boss, he's a fool. Got a brand new flat top haircut. Lord, he thinks he's cool. One of these days, I'm gonna blow my top. That sucker, he's gonna pay. I can't wait to see their face when I get the nerve to say, take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. The woman done left and took the reason that I've been working for. You better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking out the door. You take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. Take this job and shove it.
Thank you for everyone who tuned in. This has been Dance Music Express. And next up is a wonderful show, NBA in the AM, with Gavin Evans and Marcus Frank.
Two words for you. NBA in the AM with Gavin Evans and Marcus Frank.
Must-see TV.
That's more than two words.
You didn't say two words. You said quick to the point.
You just said I got two words.
And we're back. Good to be back, Gavin, right?
It is so good to be back, Marcus. A lot's happened over the break with the NBA.
Yeah.
So a lot to
welcome,
cover.
Welcome to NBA in the AM. I'm your host, Marcus Frank, here with my co-host,
Gavin Evans.
Crazy, crazy December, January for NBA. It's truly the best time of the season for me, at least. Trade deadline, All-Star game, with football ending, the NBA comes back. Really, like, the standings are starting to heat up, like, standing race.
Yeah, and a lot of teams have really flipped it around in the month and a half since we've been here.
Yeah, where, I mean, the Clippers, the Hornets have been really good lately. The Celtics.
The Celtics have really turned it around. They're, I believe, third seed in the East right now, right?
Yeah, third seed. Also, the Knicks.
By their all-star Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, and MVP candidate Jaylen Brown also.
I don't know about that one, but we'll see, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm taking Tyrese Maxey over him every day.
Okay. Well, we know why that is, Gavin. Philly native Gavin Evans. Or DC native Philly fan Gavin Evans. Okay, let's get right into it. So we're just going to do a standings watch, talk about why the teams are good, what they need to do to improve, maybe if they should sell, buy at the deadline. So standing at number one in the Eastern Conference still, the Detroit Pistons.
And to be expected, honestly, they came into the season with high expectations, and I think they've matched them.
Yeah, I mean, but I feel like they far exceeded. I did not expect them to be one. I think on our predictions, we had them at like six or five.
I think
number
yeah,
one over the Knicks is crazy to me. They're 36-12, six games, six losses in front of the Knicks and the Celtics, who are both tied. Jalen Duren, all-star. Cade Cunningham, all-star. Elite campaign. If anything, at the deadline, what do you think they should look for? More shooting?
I mean, honestly, I think they're a pretty complete team right now. Shooting, I think, could be one thing they were looking for. They came into the season with the expectation they were going to have, Malik Beasley.
Yeah.
He had some issues that has sidelined him from the league. So he has not made a return, and he was kind of their three-point sharpshooter specialist. So if they could go out and get someone like that, I think that could be a good addition. But, I mean, other than that, this is a pretty complete team. You've got two All-Stars, a lot of, you know, young up-and-coming guys that are really making a name for themselves in the league right now. And I think they should probably just keep this team together.
I disagree with you, Gavin.
Really?
I think, they have Tobias Harris. He's on a two-year, $52 million deal. He's making $26 million this year. If they were able to package him along with some of their younger pieces, I think they could get a guy like Lauri Markkanen, who personally maybe an all-star snub. They just need more shooting. I watched two Pistons games over break, both against the Clippers, and they don't have enough shooting alongside Cade, I think, for If they want to put together a strong playoff push, I think they need more shooting. And this year was such a weak East. I mean, I think you really have to take advantage and go all in, which some may think it's too soon because they just really emerged last year as a true contender. But with Jason Tatum likely out for the season, he just confirmed basically. With Tyrese Haliburton out, other teams like wavering, Giannis.
We don't know
where he's going to go.
Well, I agree
Giannis
with you that,
kind of
that they need more
non-zero
shooting, and they should make a move for it at the deadline. I'm not sure they should blow up their young core to like make that Tobias Harris contract not lucrative, but like wantable, right?
Put it in a trade, yeah. I think he's an expiring salary this year. They have Jaden Ivey, who was what, the fifth pick 2 years ago. They have some other compelling pieces. Ron Holland. You're not packaging up Jalen Duren or Cade. Those are untouchables. But Duncan Robinson also. I just think getting like a real third option sharpshooter could be very strong for this team. So that's the Pistons. Tied for the second seed are the Knicks and the Celtics. So both teams are 31-18. The Knicks also have two All-Stars, also a point guard and center duo in Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns. The Knicks have been kind of disappointing to me this season. They are however, on a 6-game winning streak. But there were really high expectations for the Knicks. I personally had them at the number one seed. I think you did as well, Gavin, in our predictions. But just very weak season from Cat so far.
Although he did make All-Star reserves, so.
Yeah, but, I mean, just the defense is really soft. I saw something on Twitter that he was feeling a little hurt because over the summer, the Knicks and the Bucks had him in trade talks for Giannis. I just saw something from Shams from ESPN that the Knicks weren't too infatuated with Giannis anymore and putting together a trade for him. So I think the Knicks might be out of the Giannis sweepstakes. But still, what do the Knicks do to improve? Because, I mean, the defense has been elite in their last 6 games.
Yeah, ever since they took Jordan Clarkson out of the lineup, yeah. Their defense has gotten so much better. Which was a little, I mean, we knew he didn't play much defense, but when he came to New York this offseason, I think we both said at the beginning of the year, we thought he could really work well on this Knicks team.
And I liked the move
a lot. It seemed great at the time. It just really hasn't worked out for New York this year.
I think a lot of it was the reason he got benched is the emergence of Tyler Kolek as that backup guard in place with Jalen Brunson. Actually, in the NBA Cup game finals, Tyler Kolek had like an amazing game. He closed alongside Brunson. He has been closing alongside Brunson. I think that's a big part of it. Another thing, Gershon Yabusele, he's had a really poor season so far. He's gotten a lot of DNPs. I kept seeing like tweets and Instagram posts. He seems upset with his place on the team. I think the Knicks could package Yabusele to get like a real useful, productive bench piece.
Yeah, absolutely. Yabu has been pretty disappointing for them this year. He was coming off a really productive year in Philly. It was a down year for the Sixers, and he really shone through with the just the lack of depth that team had. But on a deeper team like New York, he's just not getting the minutes. He can't get into his groove. And I think all sides benefit from trading him.
Yeah, he last season was averaging 11 points, shooting 50% from the field and 38 from three. This season, crazy fall off, 2.7 points, 39% from the field and 29% from three. I mean, that type of fall off, I don't think it's a him thing. I mean, it is a him thing and a Knicks thing. He's just not the right fit. Guys the Knicks could target, small moves around the margins, I think, for the Knicks.
Yeah, I don't think you make
nothing big. I mean, I saw they were in the Keon Ellis sweepstakes, but that's obviously over now that he got moved to the Cavs. But
and like you said, they're apparently out of the Giannis sweepstakes now, which is like by far the talk of this deadline. There's no other like major superstar out there like that who's got that kind of trade buzz swirling around him. So I think just small moves, you know, send out guys like Yabu and maybe some picks in exchange for some role players to add to your depth.
I mean, maybe some guys from the Kings or the Pelicans.
Yeah, the reporting right now is the Sacramento Kings are in a bit of a fire sale.
Yeah.
I don't really know who you want from, because you don't want DeMontis Sabonis.
I mean, maybe DeRozan. Off the bench.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
But there's just not really too much this team can do. I think you just got to kind of stick with it and make some small moves, if any.
Then
at the third seed, I think one of the biggest surprises of this year, although I guess they are tied for second with the Knicks, but the Boston Celtics are exceeding elite. All expectations.
An elite team.
There's not too many weaknesses on this team.
They need
some bigs.
They need a center.
Yeah.
But we penciled them in.
We said barely play-in team, I think.
Like 10th,
like barely making
seed.
The playoffs.
I thought they should tank, get a top pick, get like AJ DeBonsta, Cam Boozer, to pair him alongside with the Jays, Jalen and Jason. But they defied all odds and they're the third seed.
Yeah, no, they are.
I mean, I saw they actually made a trade for Zubats. Or they made an offer for Zubats, but it didn't end up working.
Way earlier in the season.
It was one unprotected pick, a swap, and Anfernee Simons, which the Clippers very smartly declined because that's a terrible trade offer for Zubats, top five center in the league. But yeah, they've been really good. We went to two Celtics games. Or I went to two. Gavin went to one. Gavin and I went to the opener. And they just look good. They're still that same chuck up threes and make the right amount of them and win a game just by the differential in points.
Yeah, Peyton Pritchard has been amazing in the starting lineup for them this year. He's averaging 17 points, 5.5 assists, 4.5 rebounds on pretty efficient numbers, 45% from the field and 35% from the three. Derek White has been just about that as well, slightly less efficient. And Jaylen Brown is absolutely the star of this team. I think he's shown that with Jason Tatum out, like, he is the other face of this franchise.
Yeah. It's 29. Maybe the best? Better than,
honestly,
is he better than Jason
Tatum? Do we have
Tatum?
To go into those conversations? Is he better? He did win finals MVP over Jason Tatum a few years ago. And right now, I mean, 29.5 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, on 48.5% from the field and 36% from the three. Deservedly an all-star starter. I mean,
probably All-NBA this year.
Yeah. I mean,
All-NBA first team for sure, I think.
You maybe got to start talking about, is he better than Tatum? I don't know.
Yeah.
Especially, we mentioned this a few minutes ago, but the reporting is now that Tatum is likely not going to be back at all this season, recovering from his Achilles injury. It had previously been reported he was going to make a late season playoff push to come back. That's now most likely off the table. So, I mean, Jaylen Brown is going to lead this team into the playoffs, and if they make another deep run, if they even make it like past the second round, I think Jaylen Brown's got to get more love. I don't know.
And this season he's averaging shooting better from the field than last season. He's shooting 48.5 this year. Last season he shot 46.3, and he's also shooting better from three. He's shooting 36.2 from three, and last year he shot 32.4, which I think that's crazy impressive, because this season he's had the ball much more in his hands. He's taking way more shots without Jason Tatum, without Porzingis, without Drew Holiday, and he's more efficient, which, I mean, just speaks to the type of player he is and how great of a star duo Jason Tatum and him both are.
Yeah.
Do you think there'll be buyers at the deadline? February 5th deadline?
You have to anticipate. How many years are left on Jaylen Brown's deal? Do you know?
I think he just signed after
okay.
the championship.
Because I was going to say, if you have to give him and Jason
Tatum
extensions,
5 years, $304 million
okay.
in 2020.
Then if they don't have to worry about the money, I think if they could make a move for a center. Honestly, this is probably not a good fit for the team, but I'm thinking of teams that are selling and that have good bigs, and you could be looking at, like, a DeMontis Sabonis, maybe. Or maybe a Lauri Markkanen as, like, a big three. Like,
I think Sabonis, no defense.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying it's not a good fit, but I'm thinking about, like, decent centers in the league that are on sellers, and there aren't too many.
Do you think the Thunder could have to part ways with Isaiah Hartenstein because of the money he's making and a look for a move, and maybe you could have like a three-teamer, he ends up on the Celtics? I think that would be a good move if that would happen, but, or like Jarrett Allen maybe, if the Cavs are, Jarrett Allen had 40 bomb last night.
Jarrett
40
Allen's
17.
Trade value just went up a lot. 40 points, 16 rebounds, 5 assists on 0 turnovers with 6 stocks,
last night,
in 30 minutes.
I would like him
crazy.
On the Celtics.
Actually, fun fact, he's the only players, along with Embiid and Shaq, to get those numbers this century.
Wow.
I mean, he's not an all-star caliber player, but like, he shows up when it matters, I think.
He would definitely...
Yeah.
I think the Celtics
honestly,
would be
they're,
like
they're
real contenders.
Championship contenders if they get a Jared Allen caliber center. I wonder... how do you feel about Nick Claxton? Just because I think the Nets might be willing to sell low.
But I don't think that's not like your starting big on a championship team. I think...
Although,
if
I mean,
the Clippers,
who are they starting right now is the problem. Like,
Nemezkada?
Yeah. Like, that's the problem. Like... There are so many guys out there that are better than that. Although, I guess he's not been awful this season.
No, he's had a pretty good year. Yeah.
We saw him play live in that opener, and he looked good against Joel Embiid. But that was pre coming off the minutes restriction, early season Joel Embiid. Very different from the player he is now.
So that's the Celtics. At the fourth seed, also very surprisingly, the Toronto Raptors. We penciled them in as maybe like making a play-in push, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th seed. But the 4th seed?
Yeah, I mean, they've been led by newly named All-Star, actually, Scotty Barnes.
Second time.
Second time, yeah, second really. Time.
2 years ago.
And then Brandon Ingram, both of whom, the reporting I've seen is that they are untouchable in trade talks, which is like a crazy thing to think about. But honestly, is it crazy to say? I think they could be buyers. They have
definitely.
They have such a weird like combo. They're all forwards. Like they don't really have that many guards because you've got Brandon Ingram, you've got Scotty Barnes, you've got like R.J. Barrett.
Yeah.
They
and
don't
Emmanuel
really,
Quickly.
Emmanuel
is their point
Quickly.
Guard.
Yeah. Like they. It's just like a very strangely constructed team, and yet somehow, I mean, they're only 7.5 games back from the one seed.
A lot of it, they've had really good defense this year. Yeah. Scotty Barnes, great defender. Brandon Ingram is having a strong year also. He's great from mid-range. He's averaging 21.9, 47% from the field, 35.8 from three. 5 rebounds, 3.7 assists. He's having a good year. But, yeah, I think they should be buyers. I don't think they'll get Giannis, but I think they could make a compelling package. Grady Dick, maybe. Emmanuel Quickly, he's making a bag. He's making like $35 million this year. But I think they should be buyers.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We said this already, but such a weak East. I think any of these top six teams could make the finals.
Yeah. And then next at the fifth seed, I think we have probably our biggest disappointment so far, the Cleveland Cavaliers. 30-21, tied fourth and fifth with the Raptors. They actually recently just made a trade. They traded DeAndre Hunter to the Kings in exchange for Keon Ellis, and there was some draft capital involved.
And but Dennis Schroeder,
yeah, who, I mean, I think he's now tied for most teams in the league that he's been on.
I think he's at like 11. He might break the record. The record.
Honestly,
13.
He could get dealt again at this deadline. And
last season, he was on three teams, man. That's crazy. And he's not
crazy.
That bad.
Didn't he decline like $80 million for 3 years with the Lakers like 2 years ago?
Did you see over break? The Lakers were playing the Kings, and Luka was like taunting him about it. And then after the game, Dennis Schroeder found Luka out back and like jumped him, and then he got
suspended. Yeah.
But yeah, rough for Dennis Schroeder. I mean, he's having a solid year also. 12.8, 40% from field, 34% from three, 5 assists. I think he could be a productive point guard off the bench for the Cavs. I think I like the trade.
Yeah.
Because DeAndre Hunter's having a terrible year. He's shooting like 30% from three. And Keon Ellis.
Honestly, I think the Cavs won this trade. By
definitely.
A lot. Like, Keon Ellis for this cheap is kind of crazy with Dennis Schroeder. Like,
I don't get why the Kings just refused to play him. Because he's a good player.
Yeah. And then turn around. There are other teams that would have bought higher on him, I feel like. And all this does is signal to the league, we will sell all of our players for cheap, which is not really what you want to be.
We will give you picks. We will give up picks to give you our players.
Like, that's not the messages you want to be sending right
two
now. Like,
giving up 2 second round picks
is crazy.
In a Keon Ellis, Dennis Schroeder trade.
Just if you're losing
management.
Just straight up player to player, and then you have to add in picks, like, I don't get, like, what the front office is doing.
Yeah,
doesn't make much sense.
This is why they're one of like the losingest teams.
I think they're in sole possession of the worst record in the league right now, 12-39, 0.235 win percentage.
They do have their pick.
They do.
So
yeah,
but on the bright side,
I mean,
could
we've seen bad teams get done kind of dirty by this lottery before too. I mean, the last few years, the Wizards, the Nets, the Jazz, like teams that have had like just awful records and somehow don't get like top three, top four picks. I mean, last year, you think about the teams that got top three in the lottery. It's the Mavs, the Spurs, and the Sixers. Like
the year before the Hawks won.
Yeah.
And they had like a 5%, 2.5%.
What a bust on that pick, too, with
Zachary Risacher.
I mean, he's just not good. I don't know what's going on with him.
But back to the Cavs. I think a lot of why they've had such a disappointing year is just from their injuries. Darius Garland, he has like some debilitating toe injury. And Evan Mobley's been injured this year. Donovan Mitchell is putting together a really strong season, though. Donovan Mitchell, he's averaging this year 28.8 points, 48% from the field, 38% from three, 5.8 assists. He's being that number one option that they need. He recently selected also to the All-Star reserves. I think if the Cavs can make another trade, maybe around the margins, or even just put together a more healthy end of the season push, they could be contenders again.
Yeah, absolutely agree with that.
And at the sixth seed, another surprise. Gavin must be very happy about this.
This is
the
76ers. My Philadelphia 76ers. 27-21 right now, but we are currently in, I think, one might say like a renaissance of Joel Embiid's career, a revival of it. It is in his last, in the month of January, right? So last month, he averaged 30 points, 8.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists in 14 games in January. If you shrink that to just his last six, that's 34, 10, and 6 with a 40 piece against the Pelicans. I mean, he's looking like vintage, you know, MVP season 2 years ago, Joel Embiid. He finally came off the minutes restriction around New Year's. He was recovering from this lingering knee issues he's had. He got surgery from, I believe his name is Dr. Jonathan Glasshow, also the same doctor who did Kawhi's surgery, who we'll get to later. Yeah. If you want to talk about that,
give this man the MVP this year.
Honestly,
he saved the league.
Two should be All-Stars who both got snubbed, had their knees, like, surgically repaired by this guy, but
two guys with knees as tender as roast beef.
Yeah. Anyway, the Sixers, we have a little bit of a problem in that Paul George recently, due to being found violating NBA policies, is currently suspended for 25 games, so he should be back for the last 10 games of the season. But there's a silver lining in the Paul George suspension, and that is that it saves the Sixers a lot of money at the trade deadline. We gain about $6 or $7 million in cap space from this, which puts us only, I believe, $1.5 million over the luxury tax. And the Sixers owner, Josh Harris, very much does not like to pay that luxury tax. But it makes it far easier. It gives us a lot more flexibility at the trade deadline, basically. It gives us a lot more room to maybe get some more depth, elevate guys like Dominic Barlow, who's been basically our starting power forward all year on a two-way contract, elevate him onto a real NBA contract. Same with Trendon Watford. So I think the silver lining is it gives the Sixers a lot of flexibility at this deadline to do things they wouldn't have been able to before. And who knows, you know, maybe Paul George takes the break and he comes back healthy for the playoffs and we get vintage playoff P again. You never know.
You really want vintage playoff P?
You don't want Pacers playoff P back?
Playoff P is, he's like a known playoff dropper though, Gavin.
Not when he was with the Pacers.
Yeah.
That's what, I mean, he was playoff P.
What do you think of Jared McCain this year? He's looking like a part-time NBA player, full-time TikToker. 6.8 points, down from 15.3 last year. He was in Rookie of the Year talks last year, and now he's playing like kind of a bum.
Well, this is something we kind of talked about back in like December and stuff. I'm not really in favor of Nick Nurse staying the head coach of this team past this season. I think he's not doing a great job at developing young guys like Jared McCain. a lot of these games until recently, you know, McCain is either in the G League or when he is elevated, you know, Nick Nurse puts him in for 5 minutes in, like, just straight garbage time lineups, no good players around him, right? And, you know, if he goes out there for those 5 minutes and he takes two shots and misses them both, his confidence is in the gutter. He doesn't have time to get into a groove, right? Like, at some point, and this is starting to happen a little more and more, Nick Nurse just needs to bite the bullet and say, okay, get out there for 20 minutes. Just get back into, you know, NBA shape, playing against NBA competition, not G Leaguers. And he's had some good games recently. He's dropped some, like, 15, 16 points with some assists. Not vintage, you know, rookie of the year candidate Jared McCain, but I think he's starting to come back. It really just hinges on Nick Nurse playing him more, I think.
Do you think it's also because of how crowded they are at the guard position? Maxi, VJ, him, and Quentin Grimes.
Yeah, the problem is, you're right as well. There are, like, three starting guards ahead of him. So the minutes aren't... They're hard to get.
Yeah.
Like, so in when Nick Nurse does this thing where he doesn't play him for very long and then he loses confidence, he's not really giving him a reason to play himself into those minutes. Like, last year, he played himself into starting minutes. He was you know, shooting the lights out, averaging, like, 16, 15 points a game as a rookie. He gave Nick Nurse a reason to play him, and it's way harder this year to do that, especially with the emergence of VJ Edgecombe, the rookie, having an absolutely stellar season. Little bit of a drop-off in production since the start of the year. But
still 15
still,
points.
Still amazing, incredible athlete. Like, yeah. He's out there giving it his all every night, which is honestly, like, the most you can ask for. Like, he's out there giving it his all, and I can't ask for much more.
Gavin, I haven't seen a lot of talk of this, but how do you feel about the Sixers getting in on the Giannis sweepstakes? Because I think they could make a very compelling offer. They have the Clippers draft picks, three young guys that they could trade.
Personally, I would love it. I think you throw in a package, Paul George, Jared McCain. I really would not like to give up VJ Edgecombe if possible.
I think you could do it, but you, without VJ.
Yeah, I think you can make it happen. You maybe throw in Quentin Grimes if you have to. Like, a lot of the packages, like, hypotheticals I've been seeing are Paul George, Jared McCain, a lot of first round picks, including, I believe it's two, the 2028 and 2029 Clippers picks we own, which are right now seem to be pretty valuable picks. And you get a deal done for maybe, like, Giannis and, I think, Bobby Portis, maybe, to make the money work and stuff. I would love it. Unfortunately, the reports I've seen are that, Philly is on Giannis's shortlist. As of a few days ago, Daryl Morey had not reached out to the Bucks to make an offer.
I think that's mismanagement.
I personally think so as well, but... You know, and I think the reporting just came out maybe an hour ago from Shams that the Bucks are currently in negotiations with several teams, the Heat, and
Knicks,
the Knicks, Heat,
the Raptors are getting on. Yeah. We'll talk on that later, but yeah.
Yeah, we'll touch on it later, but I mean, it's kind of late to get when these teams are already making offers and counteroffers. Yeah. It's really late for Daryl Morey to jump in there and make an offer that can exceed what some of these guys can offer. Actually, another one in the sweepstakes I've heard is Golden State.
Yeah.
I don't think they have a very lucrative package to offer for Giannis at all, but it is kind of a little bit, and we'll touch on this when we get to the West, like a little bit all in or bust for them. I mean, they're running out of Steph Curry's prime, I think.
Yeah.
All-star starter in the West, I think deservedly so this season, but yeah.
Back to the East. At 7 through 10, usual suspects. We got the Heat, the Magic, the Bulls, and the Hawks battling for the play-in again. Pretty disappointing year for all of these teams, I'd say, or for at least the Heat, the Magic, and the Hawks. We thought the Hawks were going to be the fourth seed, and we thought the Magic would be, like, around the third seed, and they're really not performing up to expectations. Paolo is not looking like their number one guy.
Yeah,
is it time to move on from Paulo?
PB Note J has not been great this season. I think Franz Wagner is your number one for the future. The problem is this year, and I know because he's on my fantasy team and I drafted him very high, he has not played that many games. He's been injured a lot. I think he's out right now for a decent stretch. And so it's just really hard to gain momentum when, you know, arguably your best player is out for so long like that.
And their defense, which was their calling card last year, they were the number three defense. It's fallen off a lot this year also, so that's part of why they've been mediocre.
Yeah, and then, I mean, you brought up the Hawks. They, I think, own the title of largest trade so far this year with
Definitely.
The Trae Young trade. They sold Trae Young to the Washington Wizards for, like, honestly, pennies on the dollar. It was Corey Kispert and, you know, soon to be retired, probably C.J. McCollum. I don't get that deal, but, you know.
I was trying to think about it. I think a lot of it is just the new CBA and trying to manage salary.
Yeah.
Just because you're going to have to give Trae Young a bag. He's expiring this year. I think he has, like, a player option or something.
Yeah.
He's going to want the max. And Trae Young is not a max caliber player. He's never going to be a winning player. I think it was a good move by the Wizards. He's a good, like, tank commander, I think. He's good. He'll be good at developing guys. He's a good assister, good point guard.
And Washington can afford to pay him because their whole team is, like, rookies or, like, second years. I mean, and Washington is not good this year, don't get me wrong. But as bad teams go, they have a lot of potential.
Yeah.
Alex Saar has been really, like, surprisingly stellar this year.
He looks elite this year, I think.
Keyshawn George has looked good.
Yeah. He's really emerged also this year.
So that's a team that has some potential promise for the future, especially with Trae Young to maybe mentor some of these guys. So hopefully not mentoring them on how to play defense, but
Back to the Hawks. Jalen Johnson, first-time All-Star also. Walking triple double. I think the Hawks will be good. They also have the Pelicans pick, so I think they just have to wait it out, maybe sign a guy in the offseason and draft one of the top three guys.
My problem with Jalen Johnson is I don't feel like his increase in, like, scoring and playmaking this season can justify the fall off in defense he's had. I think his defense has fallen off significantly this year, and it's slightly concerning. But I think he also is kind of the guy they have to build around. Although another guy who's fallen off this year on the Hawks is Dyson Daniels. I think last time I checked, he was shooting something like 13% from the three. I mean, like, Shaquille O'Neal 3-point numbers.
Truly, like disgusting 3-point percentage from a guard.
Yeah, no, like awful. And honestly, I think that is, like, a non-insignificant portion of why they've been so bad, is his fall off.
You can't be a starting guard playing
shooting
34 minutes a night. Yeah, you need to have a three ball.
Yeah, no, like, it's crazy.
He negative any shooting.
Yeah.
No jump shot.
But you don't want the ball in his hands when you're playing offense. It's bad. But moving on, probably the last team in the East we're going to talk about, the Charlotte Hornets. They've been on just a monster stretch recently, led by potential rookie of the year. I think he's maybe tied with Cooper Flagg for it, Con Knuppel out of Duke. I mean, they've just been amazing.
Yeah, number
really
one offense in their last, like, 10 games, number seven defense, number one net rating.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. I think part of it is they've been way healthier this year. Brandon Miller was injured a lot last year. LaMelo Ball, obviously, with his lingering ankle injuries. But with them both healthy, and I think LaMelo has also taken a big step back just in terms of, like, his ball hoggingness, his shot chucking. But Brandon Miller averaging 24.7, Con Knuppel 17.6 in their last 10 games. LaMelo Ball 15.8 and Miles Bridges 14.3. So they're, like, big three, looks really, really solid.
How Miles Bridges got suspended for less than half the games that Paul George got suspended for is beyond me, but Anyway, yeah, the Hornets have been led by their young guys, actually, too. They're one of the youngest teams in the league, no?
Yeah.
I mean, and they're led by guys like Con Knuppel, like Brandon Miller, who was he second or third behind Wemby? Scoot Henderson went second, and
yeah,
Miller
he was
went
third.
He's had some injury issues the last few years. Not that he was going to win Rookie of the Year over Victor Wembanyama, but now that he's been back healthy, I mean, he's been great. And he's a much more, like, team-friendly player. Same with Con Knuppel. LaMelo Ball being your starting point guard and, like, kind of one of the, like, cornerstones of your franchise right now is not a situation that's ideal, I think. He's not a winning basketball player, I feel like.
He's been playing better, though.
Yeah.
Do you think they...
It's just, like, his play style and stuff. Like, he plays the exact same way he did in high school, which is, like, chucking up absurd shots that, like, you know, when you can pass it to your teammate who is a way better shot than you, but you just take some crazy, like, one-legged fadeaway three from, like, 40 feet away and, like, you know, I personally wouldn't want him to be one of the, you know, keystone players in my franchise, but...
Yeah.
Honestly, I mean, Charlotte Hornets fans haven't had really anything to look forward to in the past few years, so I don't think they're complaining at all.
I saw a graphic. The last time they won six games in a row was when they were employing that team with Nico Batum, so it's been a while for the Hornets. Truly, like, one of the worst franchises ever in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, awful.
Probably with, like, the Wizards.
And, I mean, they had some, like, they had to move around for a little bit, too, before they landed in Charlotte, right? Were they in New Orleans for a while?
Hornets.
Was there, like, the Bobcats?
Yeah, they did, like, the
trade. There was some, like,
of, like,
early
2000s, team, yeah,
like, name changing and stuff and city relocation. And also, just random fun fact, is they recently retired Del Curry's jersey, Steph Curry's father. I think that's maybe a little much. I think he's maybe
riding
Steph's coattails a little bit, but good for him.
Do they buy or do they sell, Gavin?
I don't think you can buy in although...
Because they've been really good.
Yeah.
And 10 games is not a small sample size. It's pretty sizable.
No, I don't know if you can buy in enough this year, especially coming out of the 11 seed right now. Like, there's not that many games left in the season. You're 15 games behind the 1 seed.
But there are only 7 games behind the 6th seed. And 4 games behind the 7th seed.
But I think it'd have to be a play-in or, like, 6th seed, like, playoff run. And there's not any, really, playoff experience on this team. I mean, like we said, they're all young guys. I don't know if this is the year you make a championship run.
No, definitely not.
So, at that point, is it better to just keep your picks and your young players and go into the draft next year, trying to get out of a very stacked draft class, by the way? I don't think we've reiterated that enough. A.J. DeBonsta,
Cam Boozer,
Darren Peterson. There's some, like, future NBA stars in this draft class, I think. So I think maybe you just kind of sit it out and say, like, I love what we've seen from our young guys this year. Let's bring it into next year. And you could make it into the play-in and make it into the, like, first round, right? But I don't think you really make it past the second, honestly.
No. I feel like it's probably like what the Rockets did last year. See what happens and then reevaluate next year.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Also, we have the Heat. The Heat have been just, like, the same old Heat.
Yeah, I mean, if they trade for Giannis,
Miami
we'll let
Heat
you guys
effort
know,
gimmick
but,
still.
Yeah, Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, but yeah.
Norman Powell All-Star, though. I'm happy for Norm,
honestly. I think Norman Powell deserved the All-Star nod this year. He's been good there. I mean, they got him for a bag of chips last year, too. Like,
yeah, I liked him. He was on the Clippers last year. He's a really good offensive guy, don't get me wrong, but he doesn't provide anything else. No defense, no assisting, no rebounding. His handle is a little suspect at times. Norman Powell ISOs can be a little scary, but yeah, that's the East.
We are going to take a quick break. Gavin has a quick PSA for you guys.
Yes, we have a quick PSA for you guys. This is texting while driving prevention for all of you that are listening from your cars right now. This message is for all of you sitting in the passenger seat. And apologies if things get a little uncomfortable. But how does it feel to be at the mercy of someone who thinks a random text is worth more than your life? Why not just ask them to stop texting? It may be a little awkward, but believe me, you'll live. A message brought to you by the Ad Council, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, and WMFO in Medford. So please, guys, don't... Well, we appreciate you listening to our show from your cars. Let's stay off the phones and drive safe. And that is our PSA.
Okay, so that's the East top 10. Let's look at the West. So sitting at the one seed, very unsurprisingly, Oklahoma City Thunder.
Very unsurprisingly. Oklahoma City has been, I mean, defending champions, probably the MVP in Shea, or at least top three MVP finisher, right?
Who was last year's MVP also.
Yeah, reigning MVP as well. Recently named All-Star Chet Holmgren, whether we agree with that or
very
not.
Very suspect All-Star.
Yeah, I don't selection. Know about him making the All-Star game. Obviously, All-Star starter in the West, Shea. I mean, absolutely amazing. But, Marcus, at the beginning of this season, back in November, December, we were talking about Oklahoma City like they might be one of the greatest teams of all time. We were saying they could break Golden State's record for best record in a season.
I thought they were going to go 74-8.
Yeah.
And beat the 73-9 2016 Warriors, but...
We really thought it could be one of the greatest teams of all time. But since then, they've looked very beatable.
Yeah, they lost to the Hornets.
They lost to the Spurs twice
yeah.
I think. And, I mean, Wemby was so annoyed in the one game the Spurs did lose to the Thunder that he went and, like, shaved his head and you know,
Wemby.
He's
bringing back the Shaolin monk.
Yeah,
gimmick.
That was so funny when he was in China, like training with the monks this offseason. But just like real quick, I think the Wemby like beef with the Thunder is one of my favorite like storylines within the NBA right now.
I like the Chet beef also.
Yeah, it's so clear. He never actually comes out and says it, but he like doesn't think Chet is that good. And you see it in the way he plays every time he plays the Thunder. Like, he's just vicious when he's out there.
Did you see in the Cup game when Chet missed a free throw, Wemby started, like, to exclaim, I agree. I think this is exactly what the league needs. We had a convo last year on one episode about who will become the face of the league. I think if Wemby can stay healthy, he will be the face of the league, truly.
Absolutely agree with that. And... while this is nowhere on this level, I think this, like, budding Chet, Wemby, Thunder, Spurs beef is what the league needs. Just like the league kind of needed the Magic Bird rivalry, the Celtics-Lakers rivalry. And I don't think, don't get me wrong, this is not on that level at all, and they're in the same conference and stuff. But I think with the way viewership's been looking recently, like, the league needs stuff like this to just bring viewership in and get people excited. Because a lot of people complain, like, why am I watching a random regular season game at 8 p.m. on a Wednesday? Because it has no real meaning, right? And this is how you get games like that to have meaning.
So,
Speaking
of Victor Wembanyama,
Spurs
at the second
seed.
The Spurs, which we thought maybe like 6th seed, 7th seed, 8th seed. But second seed, really surprising.
They are riding... although, while he's fallen off a little bit since the start of the season, Victor Wembanyama is still having an amazing season. They have former Rookie of the Year Steph Castle is having a great year. De'Aaron Fox also having a great year. Unfortunately, they probably have, as of now, the worst rookie out of last year's top five in Dylan Harper. But very much in his defense, he's come into an absolutely stacked guard room. And dealing with injury, he just doesn't have a lot of room to play. Because you look at all these other guys, Cooper Flagg immediately starting, Con Knuppel immediately starting, VJ Edgecombe immediately starting, right?
Ace Bailey
can at least chuck some shots up in Utah, even if he's not starting, right? This is a good guard room that there just isn't a lot of room for him in San Antonio. But I think he's still a very exciting future prospect for the Spurs. Just this season, he's not. not great. But let him sit under De'Aaron Fox. Like, let him. I mean, De'Aaron Fox is a former All-Star point guard. He's a good point guard. And yeah, so I think their future is very bright, and they own a lot of picks this year. Yeah.
Do you think they're buyers or sellers at the deadline?
I don't really think they're sellers.
I mean, just buyers or nothing.
Ooh, I imagine if they got Giannis, dude. Oh wow, that would be unstoppable.
Yeah, that would be.
But
crazy.
Like, they don't even have that unattractive of a package for Giannis. I'm not gonna lie. Like,
I think I saw that they weren't interested in doing it.
I don't think they are, but like, they have a decent. I mean, because you throw in Dylan Harper, you throw in like the Hawks pick this year is good. They have good draft capital. You maybe throw in like one of their like wings, like.
Yeah, I think if they were willing to, they could put a compelling offer. But, yeah, but they probably do what the Rockets did last year. Don't do anything. See what happens in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So we're going to go speed mode a little bit. So at the third seed, we have the Nuggets, which...
Jokic just came back from injury last night against the Thunder, although they did lose, I believe.
Yes. Or Jokic came back actually against the Clippers. Like,
oh, did he?
Yeah, but...
Lost to the Thunder last night, though. But
will not be an MVP candidate.
Only half a game back from the 2 seed with the Spurs as well. 6 back from the 1 seed with the Thunder. Jamal Murray actually just got named to his first All-Star game. I mean, honestly, if he didn't get into this one, I think he was on pace to be one of the best players that never made an All-Star game. Like,
yeah, definitely.
So he very much, I think, just as a career like accolade, deserves to have made that All-Star game and having a great season. Although one player who's been, I feel like, really disappointing for them is Cameron Johnson this year in the MPJ trade.
Yeah, they definitely lost that trade.
Yeah, and MPJ, I think, All-Star snub in the East as well. He's been averaging like 25 with the Nets, been very good.
But I think with that trade is... that they got off his money. They probably shouldn't have attached the pick, but by getting off his money, they were able to get Bruce Brown, Tim Hardaway Jr., Jonas Valanciunas, really bolster their bench, which I think is what has allowed them to really thrive this year. Do you think they're buyers, or do they just do nothing?
I don't think they're like... mega buyers. They're not going all in for a guy like Giannis, right? But I could see some moves at the margin, you know, get some, get maybe like some shooters around the perimeter. I think the team is maybe lacking a little bit there, but other than that, I mean, it's a pretty complete team. Like Jamal Murray running your point right now, right? So I don't think they're, like, crazy buyers, but they could make some small moves.
You know what we forgot to talk about? Peyton Watson.
Yeah.
When Jokic went out, he went on a crazy stretch. He dropped 35, 19, 21, 29 versus the Thunder yesterday. Is he, like, going to become their third option? He's averaging 15 this year.
I is he not right now almost? Like, I mean, behind Jamal Murray and Jokic.
Or, like, Aaron Gordon.
Yeah. The problem is, money-wise, he might be needing a decent chunk of change. And I believe Christian Braun, who has not been great this year, he's 9.5 points, 4.2 rebounds, 2.5 assists, just got this offseason, I think, got a pretty substantial contract.
Yeah. And he's had a pretty weak season.
I mean,
so
he's down a whole 6 points from last season, down a rebound, same assists, down on the defense. He's kind of a problem for them. I don't know. Maybe that's someone you include in a trade at the deadline, honestly, to move.
Yeah.
If you can get someone to take on his contract, I think that's the type of guy you move on from in exchange for some shooter weighing around the edge, you know?
Maybe like Colby White.
Yeah.
Michael Porter Jr.? He's having a pretty good year.
Yeah. So, very
that
interesting
is the
future
Nuggets.
For them, yeah.
The Rockets are sitting at the 4th seed. Really disappointing year so far. Last year, they were the 2nd seed. They got rid of Jalen Green, got Kevin Durant, which everyone said was a really good move. But I don't know. I kind of had some hesitancy after I saw that move. Replacing a young guy with more potential with a 37-year-old who becoming a little injury prone, maybe a little soft playoff dropper now.
And to be fair to the Rockets, not all of they fall into the injury bug. So for those who don't know, they're starting point guard and like low-key like only point guard except for Reed Sheppard, who has gotten better as the season went on, but they're starting point guard and like clear one option at the point guard, Fred VanVleet, who also got a massive contract this offseason, got injured. I can't remember if it was ACL or Achilles, but out for the season before the season even started. And then, so that forced like a very last minute change of plans. And then just recently, actually, Steven Adams, their backup center and kind of fills every kind of role for them, got injured. I believe also out for the season, right?
Yeah, out for the season. And he's really important, that double big lineup. But yeah, that's the Rockets. I think probably just going to be an off year.
Yeah.
Maybe they make
some moves in the second round, maybe. But I don't think you buy or sell really at this deadline.
I mean, maybe like
low-key, do you move off of Kevin Durant?
I don't know. I think they run it back.
Yeah.
But
I mean, KD does not have that many years left in him, is the thing. I think he's got three tops.
It's just an unfortunate situation because I think they could have done something this year if they just weren't hit with all these injuries. Okay. At the fifth seed, we've got the Timberwolves.
They've potentially been in the Giannis sweepstakes, I think.
Yeah, I saw Giannis was intrigued with playing with Ant Edwards, but they have no picks.
Rudy Gobert
and like what?
Of
chips.
That's a PR team's worst nightmare, Anthony Edwards and Giannis on the same team. But
you see what Giannis posted on his Instagram?
Yeah,
something with a certain...
He was looking for a brand deal,
warrior.
I think. But anyway, I mean, they're not bad, but I don't know if they're really championship material this year. I don't think Ant has taken the leap that he needed to this year.
Yeah.
He's great, don't get me wrong, but like, I don't know if he's, I don't know. I think he needed to take a bigger leap offensively this year.
Become more of a playmaker, I think, because they don't have a guard. They need a point guard.
Yeah, I don't know like how team-focused of a guy he really is, you know?
I think nowadays you see a lot of these like two guards transition into point guards, but I don't think he's going to end up doing that. Okay, so at final team in the top six, Los Angeles Lakers, our last team we're going to talk about. Lakers, this season I feel like it's been pretty disappointing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, outside of Luka and LeBron, none of the other guys on this team can play.
We thought we saw skinny Luka, but he discovered In-N-Out.
Yeah, no, Luka discovered
gained a couple of pounds.
LA food and
LA Mexican,
back,
no more Tex-Mex.
Yeah. The problem is, I mean, your role
players
Zion
are... Say Zion can eat a table. What does that mean Luka's eating? Eating that Last Supper table?
Okay.
Okay, sorry.
No, you're good. No, but I mean your role
players.
I
hate Luka. I'll just get that out there.
Yeah.
I'm not Luka's biggest fan.
Yeah. No, but I mean your role players are Gabe Vincent, who can't make a shot. You have Marcus Smart, who at least tries, but he's just old, coming off a lot of injuries, you know, like
he's got that
rough.
Like the try hard gimmick.
Yeah. Hustle player.
Hustle
of the year,
player,
you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, they're in a really awkward spot. You can't really buy. You can't really sell. LeBron is taking up a lot of your cap space for a guy who is kind of falling off. He made the All-Star reserve, probably did not deserve it, but they're just in kind of a limbo where I think you're kind of stuck where you are. You can't really move off of any of these guys. Don't have any assets to buy with. And, yeah.
Okay, so that's the top six. So trade deadline is this Thursday?
This Thursday, 1 p.m., 3 p.m., something like that.
We might do a special episode Thursday.
Yeah, depending on how it goes. If anything exciting happens, we will be back.
Thursday, probably. But we will be back next Monday at noon.
At noon, every Monday at noon.
Our new time slot. Probably going to end up changing the name.
Yeah, I think we're no longer in the a.m. We're in the afternoon
now.
We're in the p.m. So, yeah, but We'll let you guys know if we change the name. We're cooking up some ideas. We got some ideas in the...
Should we share them?
Yeah, well, okay.
Courtside with Marcus.